Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim.
Today, I'm interviewing Michael Cicluna. He's a seasoned financial executive and partner CFO at High Country Finance. With extensive experience as a CFO in multiple organizations, Mike specializes in cash flow forecasting, accounting analysis, and providing high-level advisory to startups and growing businesses. His expertise spans 25 industries, making him a trusted resource for strategic financial guidance. Hey, Mike, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Sari. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, I'm glad to interview you, get to know you. I know we're going to talk about outsourced CFO work and what that is and what you guys do. But before we get into that, I want to know more about you and your background.
Yeah, of course. So I've been in the accounting space for a while now. It's been over 7 years. So I started out doing some basic bookkeeping and accounting for a startup. And obviously, when you work in a startup, things move quickly. So I had lots of opportunities to grow and expand. And it wasn't long before they were like, wait, we need a CFO. Do you think you could do that? And I said, well, I can learn real fast. And so I took a lot of time to teach myself, to do a lot of online learning and training to understand what a CFO does and what are the important outputs from a CFO. It was really enlightening, because what I started to realize is that most CFOs don't really know what to do as a CFO. And so I kind of got to learn from what the owners of the business were asking me for, but also learning from, you know, just online resources, what other business owners really wanted from their CFO. And so I focused my study on that. Did a lot of study on what CFOs do and the different skills that a CFO would need. And then from there, after I'd been working at that company for about 3 years as a CFO, I had an opportunity to join my business partner, Brady, at High Country Finance. And he does all the tax stuff, which is stuff that when you think about accounting, you probably think it's all one and the same, and it's really not. He does all the stuff that I don't want to do, and I do all the stuff that he doesn't want to do. So he brought me in to take on the accounting, bookkeeping, and CFO arm of the company. So that's really what I've been doing since then. And it's been going really well. I love doing it.
And if you were kind of break down the role of a CFO, like in a couple of points, what would that entail?
Yeah. So I'll tell you two things. Number one, I'll tell you what a CFO is not, and then I'll tell you what a CFO is. First of all, a CFO is not an accountant. And I think that's really important, because, again, people think if you're a numbers person, you're a numbers person and you can do it all, or you should be able to do it all. So a CFO is not an accountant. That's the first thing you got to understand. Second thing is, what is a CFO? A CFO is someone that looks forward into the future and analyzes what the potential opportunities and risks are from a financial perspective of a company. An accountant looks at what you've done in the past and where you're at as of today. They're not interested in the future, or at least they're not qualified to tell you about the future. Whereas a CFO, they are the ones that will tell you about the future. It's a very different role, and people get those two mixed up a lot.
Plus, I would add too that when you think of an accountant, the first thing that comes to your mind is taxes, right? And that's not, it's not all about taxes. There's more to accounting than taxes.
Yes, exactly. That's so true.
So and then your company now is an outsourced CFO for other companies. So clients hire you, typically, are they small businesses?
Yeah, so most of our clients will range in revenue somewhere between 1 and 50 million. Okay. Now, the reason why we have a cap, obviously you'd think, well, why don't you just go for larger companies and make more money? Wouldn't that be great? There does come a point where we will advise our clients to actually start bringing things in-house. There's a cap where it's like, you can keep paying us, but you're going to be paying more than it's worth, because I've got people working full-time on your account and you're paying their salary, plus you're also paying me and my company to run. Mm-hmm. So anywhere between 1 to 50 million, I'd say that the sweet spot for us is probably between 1 to 15 million. That's where if we can join a company around that stage, it's usually where we can provide the most value and help you to grow into that 30, 40, $50 million company and slowly start to help you hire in-house. We do help. There's another category of customer that we do a lot of work for. We don't usually offer the CFO service, but we do the monthly bookkeeping, accounting, and tax stuff. And that's people that are making somewhere between 250,000 up to a million. And this is usually, whether it be a real estate professional or a sales representative, someone that maybe has fingers in a few different pies, they've got a few different companies that they're running. They themselves have what we call a personal management company. That personal management company essentially is a tax saving tool. And so they need to keep their own books, they need to, track expenses and their income and all of that, but they're using that as a separate entity so that they can get more write-offs, take more of their personal expenses through that tax saving tool without it affecting the businesses that they're running elsewhere.
So what are some common problems you see with business owners right now where you're looking at like a common issue and you're looking at it and you're like, if they only knew these couple of things, it would make a lot easier to manage their financials. Just a couple of things that that are common mistakes or problems business owners can solve on their own without even hiring an outside CFO.
Yeah, that's a really good question. As a small business, most likely you're going to have some sort of an accountant at some point. And when you get to that point and you're ready to actually hire that person, what you need to understand is that your accountant is not a mind reader or a magician, all right? But they may be an illusionist. And this is really important to understand. So let me explain that. Many entrepreneurs, they do their own bookkeeping to start, and that's really good. And they feel like it's not too hard at first, but eventually it just gets to the point where they're busy enough that it becomes worth it to offload those tasks to someone else, right? So they go out and they hire an accountant or a bookkeeper, and then they tell their accountant to give them the reports by the end of the month, and then they just ignore their accountant the rest of the time. They just expect the accountant to just make it happen. Now, there's one of three things that's going to happen. Number one, if you have a good accountant, they're going to be bugging you, and they're going to say, "Hey, I really need this stuff. I really need this stuff. You need to tell me you just wired 20 grand somewhere. I need to know what that was for." Like, they're going to ask you those questions. That's a good accountant. They want to make sure that they're putting things in the right place, but they need to know what's in your brain. And eventually you'll build processes with them so that they can do the majority of it on their own. If they're a good accountant, they will do that. Second thing, if they're not a good accountant, they will just guess. They'll throw things wherever they think is best, and they'll make it look like your books are correct. That's the illusionist. So this is where you got to be careful. A lot of accountants will say, "Yeah, I can do this. It'll be really cheap, no problem." And they just give you the books at the end of the month. And you might look at it and be like, "Well, that's not really what I was thinking," but they're the accountant. They know what's going on. They're pulling the wool over your eyes because they don't want to have to deal with the work with you to actually get the things right. And you got to be really careful of that kind of accountant because there's a lot of them out there. The last thing that can happen is the accountant asks you for things, you don't give them to them. But then when the books don't look correct, you say, "Well, that's your fault." Be really careful of that because what will happen is you'll cycle through accountant after accountant after accountant until eventually either you figure it out or you find an illusionist that's really good that can pretend that your books are correct. So that's, I'd say the biggest thing is you've got to understand that you need to work with your accountant. It's not just that your accountant's just going to read your mind and they're just going to make it happen. You need to be able to work with them and initially, there's going to be more work than what you'll have down the line. Over time, you'll actually reduce the amount of work that you have with them because they'll learn your habits and your spending and everything like that. And eventually, your books will be incredibly clean and you will be able to just get those reports maybe at the end of the month with just a couple of questions at most.
Got it. That makes sense. I do see that from the role as a financial planner. I often ask clients during our initial meetings if they have an accountant. And I'd say most of the time, probably 50 or 60% of the time, people would say, yeah, but I'm looking for a new one.
Yeah.
So is that because what else contributes that to the constant need of a new accountant?
So the barrier to entry to become an accountant is very low. You can basically put an ad online and say, "I know how to do bookkeeping." Everyone thinks that bookkeeping is really, really easy, which it is, as long as your business is very simple. So here's what I'll do. Whether you have an accountant or not, I hope you have a QuickBooks account. I want you to open up your QuickBooks account and go to reports and then look for the balance sheet. Now, I know that you normally look at your P&L. P&L is what makes every entrepreneur feel good because it shows you your net income, right? It says, "Here's my revenue, here are my expenses, that's my net income." Everyone knows how to read a P&L. But the thing that actually is important is the balance sheet. When I look at a company, when we're interested in, looking at how much cleanup we're going to have to do with a new customer, I don't even look at the P&L until I've had a look at the balance sheet, because the balance sheet will tell me where the errors are. If your balance sheet is incorrect, then your P&L is incorrect. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things that you can do as a business owner really quickly on your balance sheet to see if there are errors that you want to talk to your accountant about. Number one, do you have negatives on your balance sheet? This is the biggest thing that I see. Negatives on your bank account, obviously that's a big deal. You know whether that's true or not. If you log into your balance sheet and you look at your balance sheet report and you've got negative 10 grand on one of your bank accounts, that's not true. Your bank wouldn't let you go that far, right? So look for those negatives. Number two, look for any accounts that don't make sense to you. Now, they may be correct. That account might be there on purpose and it might be the right account, but you should ask your accountant what that account is and why it's there. Number three is clearing accounts. So usually in QuickBooks, you'll see undeposited funds. If you have a lot of money in those clearing accounts, that's a big problem as well. Number four is going to be your accounts receivable and accounts payable. If you have a very large accounts receivable account, larger than what you know it should be, right? So you don't have very many customers that haven't paid you, but you've got tons of money sitting in this accounts receivable, there's a good chance that you're actually overstating your income because you're having invoices and cash showing up as revenue rather than the invoice showing up as revenue and then the cash being applied to that invoice. So that's one that you've got to be really careful of. And then the last one that I would say is you want to look at any of your loans and see if the amount outstanding on the loan on your balance sheet matches what you see when you log into your loan portal. So I think that was about five things. That's usually what I go over. Those are the five initial things that you can go and have a look at, and very quickly you can determine whether there is any reason for concern. Now, I would recommend you ask your accountant about that first, but if your accountant doesn't give you answers that you like, then that's when you should probably start looking for a new accountant, okay? But very quickly, everyone, just go and do that. I encourage all of my customers to do that, to constantly look at the balance sheet. We actually spend a lot of time with our customers trying to teach them how to read the balance sheet themselves, because you as a business owner, you should understand the finances of your company and you know what's happening on your P&L. But if you can learn to understand a balance sheet, you'll be so much more effective as a business owner and as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, because a profit and a loss, you could be positive. It could look good in a profit and loss, but your debt is climbing, and you can't see in the profit and loss because it's just the money, it's the income that comes in minus expenses. But it doesn't reflect the debt. It doesn't reflect the value of your assets, the value of your business, and other things that are the snapshot. It's also like you'd want to understand the value of your company on any given day. Like look at a stock, right? A stock is essentially a snapshot of that company's value at that given time.
That's exactly right. And the net income can actually be very deceiving. It's you might have a very good net income, but that doesn't mean you've got a good company.
Right. And then does your company handle everything that comes, everything has to do with accounting, bookkeeping, the outside CFO work, the tax compliance?
Yes, correct. So we do all of that stuff. The things that we will not touch is financial planning when it comes to, and I'm pretty sure you would have a little bit more reign over this, but when it comes to actually investing in specific stocks or picking what to put in your IRA, all that kind of stuff, we may tell you we think it's a good idea for you to invest in this category because it is a good tax saving, but that's as far as we'll go. But everything else, so we do bookkeeping. We do your monthly reconciliations. We can do that forward-looking CFO service, tax advisory, tax resolution, tax filing, all of it.
Awesome. In all 50 states, US states.
All 50 states.
Oh, awesome. Okay, that's good. That's really convenient. That's good.
We do have an office, but we actually prefer if people meet with us online. Much more
Yeah,
efficient.
it's much more for both people, for you and for the client. It's much more efficient. You don't have to meet. I think it slows it down, right? When you have to meet in person, you have to drive to an office. It's very limiting. So yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's way more convenient. If you were to, I mean, it's probably a difficult question to answer, but if you were to kind of put a like a say that, X amount of your gross revenue should go to outsource CFO consulting, how much would you say that percentage would come out to, roughly, like an average percent?
I've actually done some research on this. And usually, if you look at your your whole revenue for the year, you're looking at somewhere between 1 to 5%. Now, that's a pretty big range, right? If you're making 100 grand a year, a month, then that's somewhere between 1,000 to 5,000. That's like, I know if you're thinking about that, you're like, well, holy crap, that's a huge range. That range is dependent on the level of complexity of your business. Some businesses will never need to spend that $5,000, that or that 5%. But it also depends on the level of transparency that you want. We have some customers that their business is not very complex and they want to meet once a month or once a quarter. It's, they're not going to be paying as much for accounting and they don't really need it as much. I have some of the customers that they want to meet every week and they want to look through the expenses and make sure that everything is perfect. And that's great. Like, if you're that kind of customer, we actually love working with people like that because your books are absolutely perfect. But not everyone needs that. And especially if it's like you might only be able to budget that 1% right now. And that's for most customers, they can do somewhere between 1 and 2% quite efficiently. When you're ready to actually have all of the accounting and CFO services, you're going to be looking at somewhere between that 3 and 5% for the full stack of accounting and CFO services.
God, that makes sense. And how can so it was a pleasure having you on the podcast and interview and getting to know you and your company. How can the listeners connect with you and learn more about you?
Yeah, so you can send us an email, info@highcountryfinance.com. That's the fastest way to, schedule a demo or sorry, a consultation or something with us. I also have an Instagram account, Secluna23, and I've just started posting on there. Alex Hormozi has really inspired me to actually get that information out, a little bit more free stuff for people. So I've just started posting a few more things about, what we do and how you can actually run your company better by making sure that your finances are taken care of.
Awesome. Okay, I'll be sure to add in all those links you mentioned in the show notes below. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the podcast, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Sari.
Thanks.
To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's FIN asset protection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.